House Speaker Mike Johnson calling on Columbia University's president to resign ahead of his visit today on campus. And how anti-Israel protests are prompting contrasting reactions from former President Trump and President Biden.
And Biden signs into law the $95 billion foreign aid package, including a bill that would force TikTok to divest from its Chinese parent company.
Legal experts say the Biden administration is trying to create a federal right to abortion. More on a Supreme Court case today focusing on abortions during medical emergencies.
Conservative leaders are gathering in Budapest. What are the parallels between the top issues in the U.S. and Europe? And can the conservative movement agree on Ukraine? Luis Martinez takes us there.
The Kremlin says that Russia might further expand its so-called buffer zone inside Ukraine. Why Russia might do that and what the U.S. has to do with it.
Secretary of State Antony Blinken is on a three-day trip to China. What's his message and what's on the agenda?
This is NTD News Today, live from our NTD Global Headquarters. Here are Stephania Cox and Chris Beers.
We have some breaking news at the top of the hour. President Biden just signed into law the $95 billion foreign aid package that the Senate passed yesterday.
Here's Biden commenting on the package.
It's going to make America safer. It's going to make the world safer. And it continues America's leadership in the world, and everyone knows it. Gives vital support to America's partners so they can defend themselves against threats to their sovereignty and to the lives and freedom of their citizens. And it's an investment in our own security, because when our allies are stronger, and I want to make this point again and again, when our allies are stronger, we are stronger.
The bill includes $61 billion in aid to Ukraine, $26 billion for Israel, as well as $8 billion to Taiwan and other allies in the Indo-Pacific.
There's also $1 billion in humanitarian aid to Gaza. And Biden also signed a separate TikTok bill tied to the foreign aid package.
It requires TikTok to cut its ties with its Chinese parent company over the next 9 months to a year. Otherwise, the app will be banned in the U.S.
Biden has pressed lawmakers for 6 months to approve more funding for Ukraine. He said the flow of weapons to Ukraine would start in the next few hours.
All eyes on Pennsylvania, where another round of presidential primaries concluded yesterday.
Along with that, primary races for the Senate and the House. NTD's Jeremy Sandberg has the results.
Voters headed to the polls across Pennsylvania on Tuesday to cast their ballots in the 2024 primary election. Unofficial election results this morning, according to the state of Pennsylvania, show President Biden with more than 93% of the vote. Former President Trump got over 83%. Former Ambassador Nikki Haley, who dropped out of the race in March, received over 16% of the Republican vote, suggesting some Republicans are looking for an alternative to Trump. Likewise, Muslim American voters mounted an abandoned Biden campaign to protest the president's handling of the Israel-Hamas war. The organization Uncommitted PA said it was aiming for 40,000 uncommitted votes. Pennsylvania did not offer an uncommitted option on its ballot. It's currently unclear how many write-in votes were part of the movement. Biden faced similar efforts in battleground states like Michigan, Arizona, Wisconsin, and North Carolina. Biden and Trump clinched their party nominations last month, but have both campaigned heavily in Pennsylvania, a swing state crucial in both 2016 and 2020. Pennsylvania is politically divided and has a sizable number of electoral votes.
Okay, I voted for Donald Trump, Donald J. Trump, and I voted for him the last time. Was very, very disappointed because he did an excellent job. And I would vote for him again and again.
I think it's an important election. I think they all are. I think this one in particular, we've got to keep Trump out. I wish we had two different candidates to choose from, but the ones that we have are what we have, and I'm happy to vote for Biden.
Further down the ballot, voters also selected nominees in competitive primaries for Congress, the state legislature, and three statewide offices. There was a particular focus on Pennsylvania's 12th district, where Democratic Congresswoman Summer Lee defeated a primary challenger. Lee has been a fierce critic of Biden's support for Israel. Meanwhile, incumbent Senator Bob Casey, a Democrat, and his Republican challenger Dave McCormick were both unopposed in their primaries. The November race is expected to be close and could help decide if Democrats retain control of the Senate. Jeremy Sandberg, NTD News.
We have more updates on former President Trump's hush money trial in New York. The trial is on break today, and Trump is saying he wants the appeals court to take over the case.
In a post on Truth Social today, Trump wrote that Judge Mershon should be immediately removed and that the appellate courts should take over.
The former president went on to say that the appeals court should also take over his New York civil fraud case and the E. Jean Carroll defamation case.
Trump said, quote, New York justice is in shambles and only the appellate courts can save it.
Trump's so-called hush money trial will resume tomorrow with witness testimony.
And former President Trump hosted former Japanese Prime Minister Taro Aso at Trump Tower in New York yesterday. During the reception, Trump sent a message to the people of Japan.
It's a great country. You're doing very well. Shinzo was a great friend of mine. He was truly a great man and somebody that we all respected and we really loved. And I miss him greatly.
Shinzo Abe, who Trump mentioned, was the former prime minister who was assassinated in 2022. Trump formed a close relationship with him during his presidency.
Japan has been trying to connect with people close to Trump ahead of the November election. There are concerns that if he wins, the former president could reinstate protectionist trade measures or take other steps that could hurt the Japanese economy.
And tomorrow, the Supreme Court tackles a crucial question. Can former President Trump be prosecuted for actions during his presidency? The case could set a precedent on presidential immunity, shaping the future of accountability for presidents. The court martial will bang the gavel at 10 a.m. Eastern Time. And Chief Justice John Roberts will then announce the start of Donald Trump versus United States, as the case is called.
Central to Trump's immunity argument is the claim that only a former president who is impeached and convicted by the Senate can be criminally prosecuted. Trump was impeached by the House, but acquitted by the Senate.
Prosecutors say conviction in the Senate is not a prerequisite for a courtroom prosecution.
The session easily could last 2 hours or more. You can watch the live stream here on NTD. Now looking abroad, the Conservative Political Action Conference, or CPAC, will kick off tomorrow in Hungary. NTD's Luis Martinez is in Budapest with more on the event.
During the next 3 days, over 3,000 conservatives will gather here in Budapest for the third year in a row to celebrate the Conservative Political Action Conference in Hungary. Over 80 speakers, among them 7 prime ministers and 3 members of the Israeli war cabinet of Benjamin Netanyahu, will speak with foreign delegations to share common grounds and common challenges that conservatives face worldwide.
You know, there are differences, but I do think when you're looking at the major policies, for example, on gender ideology, on immigration, which is securing the border for national security purposes, you know, on economic prosperity, those you can find common ground.
European conservatives have their eyes set on the June elections. From June 6th through June 9th, the European Union will hold parliamentary elections that will determine the next composition of the EU Parliament. But the Ukraine war is also center stage. I spoke with Matt Schlapp, the chairman of the American Conservative Union, and this is what he had to say about the Ukraine war.
The biggest problem we have with aid towards Ukraine, there's a division amongst conservatives, whether this is wise or not wise. But I really don't think there's a division amongst people that are aware of what America has done in the past when they've got involved in conflicts. What's the plan?
I also had the opportunity to speak with Mikolo Shanto, the Director General of the Center for Fundamental Rights in Budapest, who's actually hosting CPAC Hungary this year. And he believes European conservatives will not support further arming Ukraine, as we saw the U.S. Congress approve last week. Instead, European conservatives, according to Mikolo Shanto, would support a path to end the conflict in Ukraine. Reporting from Budapest, Hungary, Luis Eduardo Martinez, NTD News.
Still to come, House Speaker Mike Johnson calling on Columbia University's president to resign ahead of his visit today on campus, and how anti-Israel protests are prompting contrasting reactions from former President Trump and President Biden.
And the FAA is probing union claims that Boeing retaliated against 2 engineers in 2022. More about the allegations in just a moment here on NTD News Today.
We have more updates on the conflict in the Middle East. Israel is reporting significant progress in its fight against the Hezbollah terrorist group. Israel's defense minister said today that Israel has killed half of Hezbollah's commanders in southern Lebanon. He said the operational results are very impressive.
Earlier today, the Israeli military said fighter jets and artillery hit 40 targets linked to Hezbollah terrorists in southern Lebanon.
And inside Gaza, Palestinian authorities say more bodies have been discovered at a mass grave at a hospital. Officials said today they recovered 20 more bodies from the Nasser Medical Complex in the southern city of Khan Yunis.
This came after the Israeli military withdrew from the hospital earlier this year. The military denies it buried Palestinian bodies at the hospital complex.
The campus protests are prompting contrasting reactions from Trump and Biden. And today, House Speaker Mike Johnson making a new call for Columbia University's president to resign.
Joining us now live is NTD's White House correspondent Iris Tao, who's on Columbia's campus. Hello, Iris. What's the latest there today?
Iris, good afternoon to both of you. So today, Speaker Johnson is now calling for Columbia's president to resign, saying she's been too weak in protecting Jewish students on campus. And this comes after, right before Johnson's scheduled visit to Columbia's campus later this afternoon, where she's going to meet with Jewish students who have said that they feel fearful on campus. Johnson will also hold a press conference. And here's Johnson saying in this in a radio interview this morning. Watch.
It's unconscionable. This President Shafiq is shown to be a very weak and inept leader. They cannot even guarantee the safety of Jewish students. They're expected to run for their lives and stay home from class. It's maddening.
And aside from Speaker Johnson, all 10 Republican lawmakers from New York, as well as Democratic Senator John Fetterman, are also calling for Columbia's president to resign. And if she actually does, she will be the third major university president to step down amid anti-Semitism on college campuses. Meanwhile, on Tuesday, Columbia announced that it's now shifting all the classes for the rest of the semester from now in person to either remote or hybrid. And that's as Columbia is dealing with these ongoing protests. Meanwhile, former President Trump last night also criticized Columbia's decision in doing that. Watch.
What's going on with the colleges and where they're closing Columbia now? I mean, it's just crazy. Columbia should gain a little strength, a little courage, and keep their school open. It's crazy because that means the other side wins.
And while former President Trump calls these protests a disgrace, President Biden, meanwhile, on Monday says he condemns these anti-Semitic protests, but also condemns those who don't understand, quote, what's going on with the Palestinians. Meanwhile, Israel's defense minister taking a much tougher tone this today, saying on X that, quote, these protests are not only anti-Semitic, but also inciting terrorism. Back to you.
And Iris, what's next with these protests? Are they going to continue? And if so, for how long?
Right, that's a great question. So given how not only Columbia but also NYU are now shifting their classes to hybrid or completely remote, it shows that these colleges are also expecting these unrest to continue affecting student life for at least the weeks ahead. Meanwhile, some tents are being removed right here on Columbia's campus, given why the university have told students that if they don't take actions to clear out those encampments, they will have to take alternative actions to clear them out. Back to you.
Iris Tao, thank you so much. Some of the illegal immigrants flown to Martha's Vineyard in 2022 will now reportedly receive work visas. They're eligible for a visa which is given to victims of criminal activity.
Back in 2022, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis flew almost 50 illegal immigrants from Texas to Martha's Vineyard in Massachusetts.
The illegal immigrants then sued DeSantis and the state of Florida. They argue that Florida abused them for political gain using deceptive tactics.
Now, a lawyer has reportedly announced that some of them will be receiving U visas. This gives immigrants legal status and working rights as victims of potential crimes.
Multiple outlets state that the lawyer is now trying to get U visas for all of them.
And the man who allegedly broke into the home of the mayor of Los Angeles now faces felony charges. The district attorney says the suspect was specifically targeting Mayor Karen Bass. Police arrested the suspect early Sunday morning after a break-in at the Getty House, the mayor's official residence. The burglar broke a glass door and entered the home. The mayor was inside with her daughter, son-in-law, and grandson, and reportedly hid in a safe room. The district attorney didn't provide details about why detectives think the suspect was targeting Mayor Bass. He faces two felony charges, residential burglary and vandalism. And guns in schools could soon be a reality in Tennessee. A bill that gives teachers the ability to be armed in school passed the state house yesterday.
Educators who want to have concealed weapons would have to pass a background check and have 40 hours of firearm safety training. They would also have to have psychological evaluations and additional training on an annual basis.
The Tennessee Senate previously passed the bill. It now heads to Governor Bill Lee's desk for his signature, which is expected.
About half of U.S. states allow teachers or other employees with concealed carry permits to carry guns on school property in some form.
Gun control advocates in Tennessee opposed the bill. The move comes just over a year after a school shooter killed three children and three adults at a Christian school in Nashville.
And the Supreme Court will consider today when doctors can provide abortions during medical emergencies in states with abortion bans. The Idaho Attorney General says the Biden administration is trying to create a federal right to abortion.
Idaho is one of 14 states that now ban abortion at all stages of pregnancy, except with limited exceptions.
The Biden administration argues that federal law allows hospitals to terminate pregnancies in emergencies where a patient's life or health is at serious risk, including in states where abortion is banned.
Idaho says its ban already has exceptions for life-saving abortions. The state argues expanding these exceptions would turn hospitals into abortion centers.
According to Idaho, the administration is misusing a health care law that is meant to ensure patients aren't turned away based on their ability to pay.
And today, President Biden pardoned 11 people and commuted the sentences of five others who had been convicted of nonviolent drug offenses. It's part of a White House effort to reduce incarcerations for minor offenses.
Last December, Biden reduced the prison terms of 11 people serving decades-long sentences for nonviolent drug charges. A labor complaint reveals allegations that Boeing retaliated against two of its engineers. The two employees at the time were working on behalf of the Federal Aviation Administration to provide manufacturing oversight. They raised concerns about engineering work on Boeing's 777 and 787 aircraft. Boeing initially pushed back against redoing the work before agreeing to do it. Now, a union representing Boeing engineers has filed a complaint alleging the company retaliated against the two employees in their performance reviews. The union says the negative reviews could harm the engineers when it comes to promotions or could subject them to layoffs. Boeing said it investigated the incident, but its report could only be shared with the FAA. The union is trying to appeal a decision not to change the performance evaluation of one of the workers. In a press release, the union said the other worker has quit Boeing over the way he was treated. The FAA says it is investigating the situation. Boeing today reported its first quarterly revenue drop in seven quarters, but the U.S. plane maker beat Wall Street expectations, which were lowered after January's mid-air cabin door blowout on an Alaska Airlines jet.
Since the incident, the Federal Aviation Administration has imposed a cap on production of Boeing 737 MAX jets.
The FAA has also told Boeing to develop a comprehensive plan to address systemic quality issues.
Analysts have warned the slow pace of deliveries could delay Boeing's financial and production goals. Boeing's CFO said last month it needs more time to hit an annual cash flow of about $10 billion by 2025 or 2026.
Quarterly revenue was $16.57 billion, which beat expectations of $16.23 billion. The U.S. Transportation Department is finalizing new rules that require upfront disclosures of airline fees and mandates refund for delayed baggage and to services that don't work, like onboard Wi-Fi.
The rules were nearly 3 years in the works. They will require airlines and ticket agents to tell consumers upfront about baggage or change in cancellation fees. The department said consumers are expected to save $543 million annually in excess airline fees.
The new rules required airlines and ticket agents to disclose extra service fees alongside the full fare. The first-time fare and schedule information is displayed online.
The government will also require airlines to refund baggage fees if bags are not delivered within 12 hours of domestic flight arrivals or 15 to 30 hours of international flight arrivals. And airlines must promptly and automatically issue refunds if flights are canceled.
U.S. Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg said airlines should compete with one another to secure passengers' business, not to see who can charge the most in surprise fees. And officials in Baltimore plan to open a deeper channel for commercial ships to enter and leave the city's port starting tomorrow. That takes the major shipping hub one major step closer to reopening. The port has been closed since the Francis Scott Key Bridge collapsed last month. The new channel will be 35 feet deep, a substantial increase over the three other temporary channels established in recent weeks. It puts the cleanup effort slightly ahead of schedule, as officials previously hoped to open a channel of that depth by the end of April. Five of the seven cargo ships that have been stuck in Baltimore's harbor will be able to pass through the new channel, including one loaded with cars.
And the sexual assault victims of Larry Nassar have agreed to a multi-million dollar settlement. Nassar was convicted of sexually assaulting athletes when he was a physician with USA Gymnastics. Some of his victims reached a $380 million settlement with USA Gymnastics and the U.S. Olympic Committee in 2021.
Over 100 women and girls also sued the DOJ over the FBI's initial failures to investigate the case. Now the DOJ will pay those victims almost $140 million in this settlement.
A report by the DOJ's internal watchdog uncovered widespread errors by the FBI, including failing to promptly interview potential victims and violating multiple FBI policies.
The Justice Department opted not to bring criminal charges against the agents involved in the probe. Nassar is serving up to 175 years in prison for the abuse.
And Congress accuses the CIA of drastically mishandling sexual assault and harassment cases within its ranks. An investigation prompted by a whistleblower in January 2023 found significant flaws in the CIA's handling of the sensitive allegations. The whistleblower says they were physically attacked and sexually assaulted at CIA headquarters by a fellow officer. The report says victims faced confusion and inadequate accountability, with some discouraged from reporting due to anonymity concerns. The report calls for reforms, including standardized policies and better training. The CIA says it has taken significant steps to ensure a safe and respectful workplace environment.
Millions more workers on salary could be eligible for overtime pay. The Biden administration announced the new rule yesterday. Workers with an annual salary of less than $35,000 already qualify for overtime. Starting July 1st, the threshold will increase to $44,000. Then on January 1st, it will rise again to more than $58,000. The Department of Labor estimates that about 4 million more workers will qualify for overtime when the rule is fully implemented in January. Starting in 2027, the Labor Department says salary thresholds will be updated every 3 years. Business groups are expected to challenge the new rule, as they successfully did when the Obama administration attempted to significantly hike the threshold. The current threshold was put in place by the Trump administration in 2019.
Coming up, British Prime Minister Rishi Sunak is on his first visit to Germany since taking office. The military goals he's talking about with his German counterpart.
And U.S. military aid is on its way to Ukraine, but what impact will it have in the war, and how long will the equipment take to reach the front lines? We'll have more after the break.
Secretary of State Antony Blinken arrived in China today, kicking off a 3-day talk with senior Chinese officials. This is U.S.-China ties are at a critical point over global disputes. He's expected to raise the issue of China's support for Russia.
The Biden administration has been sounding the alarm about China's support as Russia ramps up its weapons manufacturing. The U.S. says that support has allowed Moscow to continue its war against Ukraine.
Blinken says China has shared machine tools and semiconductors to help Russia rebuild its defense industrial base.
Blinken's trip comes shortly after a call between President Biden and Chinese regime leader Xi Jinping. Blinken is set to meet officials in Shanghai and then head to Beijing. A 3-year jail sentence for the founder of the world's largest crypto exchange, Binance. It was originally based in China, but later moved overseas.
Changpeng Zhao pleaded guilty to breaking U.S. anti-money laundering requirements last year. The company also agreed to pay a hefty fine, over $4 billion.
Zhao originally faced up to 18 months in prison. However, the Justice Department said he deserves 3 years because of the scope of his crime.
Prosecutors said much of Binance's success has to do with violating U.S. law, and that Zhao's decision to not put in place an effective anti-money laundering program led to the company helping transactions for users in Iran.
Authorities said the sentence will not just send a message to Zhao, but also to the world. His sentencing is scheduled for late April.
And the Commerce Department is reviewing the national security implications of China's work in open source RISC-V chip technology. RISC-V competes with proprietary technology from British semiconductor company Arm Holdings. It can be used as a key part of anything from a smartphone chip to advanced processors for artificial intelligence. The technology is being used by major Chinese tech firms like Alibaba and has become a new front in the strategic competition over advanced chip technology between the U.S. and China.
Last November, lawmakers from both chambers of Congress pressed the Biden administration for its plans to prevent China from achieving dominance in RISC-V technology. Lawmakers are concerned Beijing could leverage that dominance at the expense of U.S. national and economic security.
In a letter to lawmakers, the Commerce Department said it's reviewing potential risks and seeing what commerce authorities can do about it, but noted it would need to be careful to avoid harming American companies that are part of international groups working on RISC-V technology. And now we have some short headlines from the UK, Germany, and other European countries. The Kremlin today said Russia might further expand its so-called buffer zone inside Ukraine. That's if Kyiv receives longer-range missiles from the U.S., specifically the Army Tactical Missile System, which allows it to strike deeper inside Russia.
Russia's comments come in response to reports of a new aid package. President Biden said the U.S. will send Ukraine weapons within hours after he signed the $95 billion aid package earlier today.
British Prime Minister Rishi Sunak is on his first visit to Germany since taking office in 2022. German Chancellor Olaf Scholz received Sunak in Berlin.
The two are expected to announce plans to develop remote-controlled artillery weapons. Sunak is also expected to try to strengthen security ties with Germany.
Just yesterday, the UK Prime Minister announced he would raise the country's defense spending, suggesting other European nations should do the same. And the European Commission today launched a probe into the medical devices market in China. That's to determine if European suppliers have been granted fair access in China. If not, the EU could place restrictions on Chinese device companies bidding in Europe.
It's the latest development regarding rising trade tensions between Europe and China. Chinese regime leader Xi Jinping is expected to visit Europe next month.
Also today, Chancellor Scholz commented on suspected Chinese spies. An aide for a conservative politician was arrested on charges of spying for China.
Scholz says Germany cannot accept spying by foreign countries and that he'll make sure those responsible are put on trial.
He added that the allegations are very concerning. Scholz concluded by saying that he would not comment further in order to not interfere with the legal proceedings. Residents in Athens, Greece, were seeing orange yesterday. Strong southerly winds blew dust from the Sahara Desert in northern Africa across the Mediterranean Sea into Athens.
Skies over Athens should be clearing today as shifting winds blow away the dust and bring cooler weather.
The strong southerly winds in Greece over the past few days also brought wildfires. Greek fire officials say 25 wildfires broke out across the country in the past 24 hours. A live stream caught the moment the Lufthansa Boeing airplane performed a touch-and-go landing in Los Angeles yesterday.
Airplane videos was streaming on YouTube from LAX Airport when the Lufthansa Boeing 747-81 executed the rejected landing.
The commentator of the stream was heard giving shocked reactions. He called the incident the roughest landing ever caught on the broadcast.
The plane was seen successfully landing on the tarmac shortly after. And Ukraine says the new package of U.S. military aid is much needed and will be critical in the fight against Russia. However, the war of attrition is likely to continue, barring a major battlefield victory. NTD's Andrew Thomas has the latest.
The $61 billion military aid package should enable Ukraine to slow the Russian advance, and it will buy Ukraine time to figure out how to take back the fifth of the country now under Russian control. A Ukrainian lawmaker says the first shipments are expected to arrive soon.
First part is already assembled and ready to ship, so we expect it's going to be until the end of this week. and then the shipment will go. And fortunately, the logistics for the shipments was already well established. Normally, it takes not more than 48 hours to actually come to the front lines.
But opposition lawmaker Vadim Ivchenko said logistical challenges and bureaucracy could delay shipments by 2 to 3 months, even longer before they reach the front line.
During this time when the soldiers will hold the line, we'll prepare the new strategy of the offensive operations, and probably at the middle of summer, at the end of summer, we'll see some movement, offensive movement of the Ukrainian armed forces.
Ukraine needs artillery shells to stop Russian troops from advancing, and anti-aircraft missiles to protect people and infrastructure from Russian missiles, drones, and bombs.
We obviously have no source how to source the missiles, you know, like for air defense systems, in particular for the Patriot systems in the U.S. So we strongly believe that, you know, this is the number one priority for civilians.
Ivchenko said Ukraine's primary objective now is to hold on until the bulk of new supplies arrives.
Probably we expect that the armed forces will ask the soldiers to hold the line. This is first. And the second, they will, after they will get all the ammunition and all the assistance in the mid of summer.
Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky has vowed to recapture all its territory from Russia. Andrew Thomas, NTD News.
Coming up, Paris airport authorities unveil new baggage security systems for the upcoming Olympics. Thousands of athletes and tourists are expected to attend the games. More on the security preparations.
And 5 new canine employees roam the terminals at one of the world's busiest airports. Their work helps calm stressed travelers. More shortly here on NTD News Today. Welcome back. Charles de Gaulle Airport authorities in Paris have unveiled the baggage security systems for the upcoming Olympics. The new security measures announced yesterday will help protect the thousands of athletes and tourists expected to visit for the Games.
The airport also unveiled the baggage factory that covers more than 100,000 square feet.
Dedicated space will process equipment and luggage of the athletic delegations leaving the airport following the closing ceremony.
Transport from the Olympic Village will be protected, and this area will receive special attention. The machines that examine baggage are exactly the same as those in airport terminals. So we have 10 machines with what we call 3D standards, the highest ones. And we have a dog team there to clear up any doubts in case there is any doubt about a piece of luggage.
Authorities expect to process over 114,000 items just from athletes and media.
They estimate they'll receive 47,000 pieces of sports equipment, including 17,000 oversized items.
The airport has also unveiled new changing rooms for people with disabilities.
New scanners will speed up the process. Passengers won't have to remove electronic devices, aerosols, or liquids from their bags. And 5 new airport employees are roaming the terminals at one of the world's busiest transportation hubs. Their job is to provide a stress-free travel experience for anxious passengers. NTD's Andrew Thomas has more.
Meet Kuki and Alita, Istanbul's airport therapy dogs. These pooches are always ready to offer support with pets, belly rubs, and licks.
One of the most important things for their training is adaptation. As you know that. We host millions of passengers, such as children, elderly passengers, disabled passengers.
The airport's new pilot project aims to ease stress and anxiety among travelers. That means a need for well-adjusted dogs.
We have to ensure that they non-reacted to other this environment. For instance, noise, for instance, movement, or for instance, children. We have to ensure that they are safe.
All four-legged members of the program are therapy dogs.
We have 5 dogs working with us, and they've gone through a training process. When we chose our dogs, we did not discriminate based on criteria like looks or breed. What's important to us is that they have successfully completed their certification training. They walk around the airport led by their handlers, who are also responsible for their care.
Kuki is team captain. The Italian retriever breed works hard to please.
Kuki and I have a special relationship. We're friends. Above all, we're father and son. We're brothers. We're colleagues. We're constantly communicating. If possible, I wouldn't let him out of my sight 24/7. He's a best friend who I'd like to have live with me all the time. Kuki is smart. He always wants to be loved by people.
The dogs work during peak travel hours from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Kuki's teammate Alita is a border collie.
We see a lot of demand for the dogs. We are always surrounded by people who are constantly petting her. And they relax and are surprised to see this concept in Turkey. This makes us very happy.
Airport officials say they already have plans to expand the pilot project following initial feedback from travelers. Andrew Thomas, NTD News.
And a number of horses are running amok in London, but it's not all fun and games. At least one person has been injured. Authorities in the British capital said the army has been called in to help. Video showed a saddled white horse seemingly covered in blood running through the street alongside another black one.
The Telegraph newspaper said the horses belonged to the Household Cavalry, part of the British Army, and that they had run loose while exercising at a ceremonial parade ground in central London.
London police said officers contained the two horses and transported them to a veterinary care.
The hot dog from Sonora has conquered the palates of Mexico and many around the world. The Sonoran hot dog is an adaptation of the classic American hot dog with unique flavors and traditions. Known as dogos, instead of hot dogs, they are larger with a sweet bun, have a bacon-wrapped sausage, and some add jalapeno sauce, stuffed chili peppers, and even guacamole. That sounds great. This fusion of flavors and culinary techniques has led the Sonoran dog to get notable recognition among national and international customers.
All right, hot tip. Next up, for round-the-clock original news coverage, visit us at ntd.com or download our NTD app.
And be sure to stick around for NTD Newsroom at 3 p.m. Eastern. We'll cover more stories from the U.S. and around the world.